What a treat to be here. What a treat to be here with you all. Wow, great stuff Doug shared, huh? Okay, well, I'm going to try to look at a few records in the Bible to illustrate some of the great things Doug shared with us. And as he indicated, there are different ways God talks to people. And God will work with each and every one of us right where you are. And that's why in a field like this, as in everything with the Scriptures, we never compare ourselves to other people. Something in Corinthians about you comparing yourselves to others aren't very smart about it. 2 Corinthians 10 or something. God will work with each and every one of us in a way that works for us. And that's the big thing to realize. We will read records about people in the Scriptures and how God communicated to them. I'll probably tell you a story or two about how God has told me things. But how God works with you is something you'll work out with God. And that's why you never have to be concerned that somebody else got revelation a different way and you didn't get it that way, so you're not very spiritual. No, don't be thinking that way. You focus on looking to God, and different things will work out in your life, ways God will work with you. Something I've personally been doing the last year or so is just getting up every morning, reading the Word, and going through a list of things to pray for. Not a huge list, but some people in my family and in my fellowship that particularly are on my heart, and then certain things in my life where I need help. And I'll pray, and then I'll just be very quiet as I'm praying, and that's quite often where God will show me the things I need to do to get those prayers answered. Because sometimes when you pray, God takes care of everything. Other times when you pray, there are things you need to do. You need to change. You need to work on to help the prayer come to pass. And for me, personally, that's just been a great thing for the last year or two, to have that quiet time and just listen, and God will just show me very clearly. Other times in my life, there have been different things that have worked. For other people, there's totally different ways God will work with them. But just do what it says in James. If any of you lack wisdom, ask God, and then be open to the way God will work with you, and be thankful for that. Let's start. There are different ways God will communicate with you. One way is by seeing. Let's go to Daniel chapter 5. Some of this Doug has covered. Did I say Daniel chapter 5? Well, who knows? There are different ways I will talk to you today. Daniel chapter 5. Just trying to see how you're walking here. See? Daniel chapter 5. By the way, it's good to have a sense of humor with these things. People will often take this kind of thing way too seriously and then condemn themselves and everybody else around them if they don't do things exactly the way they think they should be done. Well, let's just be a little patient with ourselves and with each other, and God will work with us. Have you ever noticed how patient God is with you? I don't know about you, but you can be really flaky, and then all of a sudden one day you decide, okay, I'm going to read the Bible and believe it, and God's right there. He doesn't say, well, you ignored me for 2 weeks. I'll ignore you for 2 weeks. No. We may do that to ourselves. We may do that to each other, but God doesn't. He's always there the minute we turn to him, and that's why we just got to be patient and loving. Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple. So here they are in Babylon. Here's the king of Babylon, Belshazzar, having a party with the vessels he stole out of the temple of the true God in Jerusalem. The ones they used to serve the Lord and do the sacrifices in the temple, he's having a party. I don't think God's very happy with that. Let's see what happens. Then verse 3, they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the God of heaven. And all the gods of gold, of silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone. Oh, isn't that an insult? Not only did he steal the vessels out of the temple of God, now he's using them to worship false gods. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. So he looked up, and on this big old white plaster wall, where he's having this huge party with hundreds and thousands of nobles and everybody, these fingers of a man's hand are writing. Yeah, now we're used to these things because we have special effects in science fiction movies. He'd say, "What's the big deal?" The second Indiana Jones movie or the first some other movie had that. What's the big deal? We're used to that kind of thing. Well, they weren't used to that kind of thing. And even us, if we actually saw it in our living room instead of in a movie, we'd be a little shocked too. Well, it happened in his living room, and he was surprised. The same forth. So they wrote, and the king saw the part. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. And the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. He was pretty shook. Now, it doesn't say that anybody else saw it. We'll see if anything in the context says it does, but right now it says the king saw it. When God gives something by revelation, sometimes it's to one person, sometimes it's to a bunch of people. I remember I was in high school living in southern New York, and I drove way up to northern New York to visit a fellowship and help them out for a weekend with this other guy in my fellowship. I actually didn't have a license. I was too busy with the fellowship to go take the test. But this other guy, he had a license. So he was driving, and we were driving through upstate New York, and it was dark, and it was cloudy, and it was foggy, a little icy, and we couldn't see the road. We just couldn't see anything. And then all of a sudden, this black line appeared right in the middle of the road, so we could see. And if the road curved to the right, the black line curved to the right. And my friend who was driving said, "Did you see that?" I said, "Yeah." And we both saw it. And God just put this line in the middle of the road, like a little, you know those little GPS things you have now? It was like that, but you didn't have to plug it in. And it wasn't on a little dashboard, it was right on the road. God just put, and that was a case where we both saw it. And it stayed there until the fog cleared, and then we could drive home. Only time that ever happened to me. But we needed to get through safely. We were praying, and God got us through. God may do something totally different for whatever you need. But the thing is, God will work with you in a way that works for you. But the king saw this handwriting, and his knees were knocking. Verse 7, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. You see, like all governments, they had different departments. Well, they had a department for magicians, fortune tellers, soothsayers. They had a department in the government for that, because it was an accepted part of life to have people read your fortune and tell you so you could make big decisions. So he called in all these guys that were on his payroll. And he brought in the astrologers, Chaldean soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. They didn't know what it meant. See, it's not clear to me whether they even saw it, but even if they did see it, they didn't know what it meant. It's clear the king saw it. It's not clear that anybody else saw it. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. Now the king, queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts be trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting a dream, showing of hard sentences, dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel. whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Because you see, God can speak directly to anybody with the Spirit of God. Now, they didn't have the Spirit of God born in them in the Old Testament administrations, but the Spirit of God could be upon them. Many times it says in the Old Testament records that God was with somebody, meaning the Spirit of God was upon them, then God could speak to the Spirit. But if somebody didn't have the Spirit upon them, then God could communicate in other ways, like having a vision of a man's hand writing on the wall. There are other ways God can communicate to people without Spirit. So without the Spirit on them, the king and perhaps the astrologers, it's not clear, they saw the handwriting on the wall. But Daniel, he had the Spirit of God, so God could speak to him directly by word of knowledge and word of wisdom. So let's see what happens. Then, verse 13, was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father-in-law brought out of Jewry, the land of the Jews? I have heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee. See, his theology was a little confused. He thought it was the spirit of all the gods. He didn't realize it was the spirit of the one true God. But I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation of thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about thy neck, shalt be third ruler in the kingdom, and box seats in the football stadium. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. And then it goes on, and talks about all the stuff that's going to happen. Verse 24, Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Many, many, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation thereof. And then he reads it, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the kingdoms of the Medes and the Persians. And that night he was killed and the Medes and the Persians took over. And the Babylonian captivity became the Persian captivity. The Babylonians took them out of Jerusalem and the Persians sent them home. So God revealed to the king and likely to those around him, he gave them revelation by having the handwriting on the wall. But nobody knew what it meant. So they brought in Daniel, who had the Spirit of God, and God could reveal to him by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, what it meant, and God revealed it to the king. Interesting. 2 Kings chapter 6. Here's a great record. This is the record where the king of Syria keeps trying to attack the Israelites. And the man of God, Elijah, always tells the king of Israel where the Syrians are coming. So the king of Israel gets his army out of the way. The king of Syria's spies say, the army of the Israelites is in Shaver Lake. And the king says, great, we'll attack them the next morning. So they get all ready. They march over the hill. But in the middle of the night, God has told Elijah, the prophet, that the Syrians are coming. Elijah tells the king, and the king in the middle of the night moves the army up to Big Creek. So the king of Syria comes over the hill ready to demolish the Israelites, and they're not there. And this goes on, and he just doesn't know what to do. He thinks he has a mole, a spy in his war cabinet. And finally one of his guys says, no, we're not spies. They got this man of God, Elijah. God tells them everything we're up to. So he says, great, go get the man of God, Elijah. And he sends this huge army to surround this little town of Dothan where Elijah is. And let's see what happens here. 2 Kings chapter 6. I just have to find 2 Kings. Somebody moved it in my Bible. Here it is. Here it is. 2 Kings chapter 6. In verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host, an army, compassed the city, both with horses and with chariots. And his master said unto him, Alas, master, how shall we do? Oh, I don't, what are we going to do? We're just you, me, and our coffee pot, and we're surrounded by a huge army. What are we going to do? Verse 16, and he answered, he, Elijah, the man of God, answered, Fear not, for they that be with them are more, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And at this point, this servant is thinking, 1 + 1 = 2. And we have a couple of, I guess they didn't even have that kind, I was going to say a couple of table forks and a bread knife, which they probably didn't even have that kind of silverware there, but they didn't have much in the way of armaments, just two of them. And there's this big army with big, mean, ugly guys with swords and spears, and he's trying to do the math in his head. You, me, and a coffee pot, and them with horses, chariots, I don't get it. But look what happened. Verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Sounds like, did we sing a song about that today? Yeah, well, that's what he prayed. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire, round about Elisha. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So what God was showing him was the spiritual forces God had to protect them. The physical army, the servant could see. But he couldn't see the spiritual forces until God showed them to him by revelation. Elisha could see them before, but God prayed that the servant could see them, and then God revealed it to the servant. So God can give revelation by sight. Sometimes it's a vision to somebody like Belshazzar, the king. Here it's simply revealing what's in the spiritual realm. Likely also a vision. Look at Matthew chapter 3. And by the way, there is so much in the scriptures, we just can't cover it all this week. So if we miss your favorite record, we're not doing it on purpose to be mean. Talk about it in your hour power group. Or if you think really the whole group needs to hear it, come talk to us. And if it fits in, we'll be happy to review it. But there is so much. We're trying to cover a sampling to show the basic principles of how these manifestations work. Matthew 3 and verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. He saw it. Now, it doesn't say if anybody else saw it. When God reveals to somebody to something by sight, sometimes a lot of people see it, sometimes they don't. Like for instance, Elisha could see the chariots of fire, but the servant couldn't until God revealed it to the servant. Here it says Jesus Christ saw the Spirit. Maybe somewhere in the other Gospels it says whether others saw it. I honestly don't recall. But God can reveal something to everybody. He can reveal something to one person. He can reveal something to a few people. That's up to him. So he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. He saw it. Interesting. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Here's an interesting record. It gets into all kinds of stuff that we can't cover in too much detail this week. But we'll cover a lot. Maybe we could stay next week. No, we have to. That'd be great. Maybe next year. Matthew 17, and here in verse 1. And after 6 days, and this is towards the end of his ministry, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. It was somewhere near Big Creek, I think. And he was transfigured, his appearance changed before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment, his garment, his clothing was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. Now those that say the dead are really alive love this verse. Because here Moses and Elijah, who'd been dead for hundreds, maybe 1,000 years with Moses, probably 500 years with Elijah, all of a sudden they showed up and they were talking to him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So now we not only have revelation by seeing, we have revelation by hearing. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. So when they got back up, no Moses and Elijah. Verse 9, And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the what vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So when God shows somebody something, it's often called a vision, where God by revelation shows somebody something. Here they couldn't see Moses and Elijah literally physically alive because they were dead, but he could see a vision, a representation of them. If you watch a football game on your TV in your living room, are they actually big guys with muddy feet tromping through your living room? No. Do they actually jump out and knock you off your chair and spill your potato chips? No. No, they're a vision. It's an electronic vision, but it's a picture you're seeing. Well, that's what they saw, except it was a spiritual picture. Now, whether it was high def and surround sound, I don't know. It was probably pretty realistic, though. They saw Moses and Elijah, and they heard the voice of God saying, This is my beloved Son. So God revealed, gave them revelation both by seeing and hearing. Now, speaking of hearing, let's read that verse that Doug alluded to just before he closed in 1 Kings chapter 19. And God will make himself known to you in ways that are very clear. Sometimes by seeing, sometimes by hearing. Something we've often taught through the years is that when you pray and ask God, the first thought will be from God. And if your mind is really focused on God, you're really listening, that's true. And then it simply becomes a walk. It's simply a walk where you learn to walk with God and you'll learn to hear God's voice. Just like Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, he had to learn to hear God's voice. Well, you will learn too. You'll pray, you'll be asking God for help. A radical idea you never occurred to you will pop into your mind, and you'll go out and act on it. And if it comes to pass the way God said, you know that was from God. If nothing happens, you'll realize, oop, I goofed. That was my idea, not from God. And over time, you learn to walk with God, just like Samuel learned. But the more we pray, the more we ask God to help us, the more we listen, the more it will work. And a great thing that Doug shared earlier is that revelation is not always available. An example Dr. Werwell used to use is you reach up into Daddy's cookie jar and see if anything's there. And if there's a cookie, you take it. If there's nothing there, he's not talking right now. And why God talks to us at times and why he lets us wait, I don't know. One of my favorite examples is in Jeremiah 42, where a bunch of people come to Jeremiah at the time the Babylonians have taken Jerusalem captive, and they've hauled a whole bunch of people captive to Babylon, and those that are left there are very nervous, and they want to know what to do so they don't get killed by the king of Babylon. So they come to Jeremiah and say, You tell us what to do, and we'll do whatever you say. And they were lying because they didn't do what he said. But in the meantime, Jeremiah said, okay, whatever God tells me, I will tell you. And it says 10 days later, the word of the Lord came to him. And Jeremiah was a pretty sharp guy. But God waited 10 days to tell him what to do. And the reason that's important to know is sometimes you feel under pressure. Or people come and ask you, what's God say we should do? And you ask, and God doesn't say anything, so you make something up, just so you don't admit that you don't know, or you didn't get revelation, or you're not spiritual enough. Well, don't be pushed to do that kind of thing. Just pray, ask God for help, listen, and you'll learn to walk with God. You'll learn to listen. You'll learn to hear his voice, and he'll communicate with you in a way that works for you. And there are times where God will give you direct revelation, many times. There are other times where God won't, but you still have the written word, and you can still do that. If you're in a situation where there is no revelation, and you can't think of what the word says, it's okay to use common sense based on your experience. So if you're in a situation where you get revelation, do this, do it. If you're in a situation where God doesn't tell you specifically, think about what the written word says about that situation, do that. If you don't have any clear revelation, if you can't think of a verse that applies, use common sense. And by the way, there's some verses that always apply. Pray without ceasing. Be thankful evermore. Walk in love. Those are things you always do, regardless of whether you have revelation or not. And then it's okay to use common sense. It's okay to say, if I want to go to Shaver Lake at the end of the driveway, I should turn right. That's not devilish. That's okay. Common sense is perfectly okay. And in a lot of situations in life, that's all you need. And if there's something different, God will tell you. What's it say somewhere in Philippians, whereto we've already attained, let us walk by the same thing, and if ye be in any thing otherwise minded, God will reveal it even unto you? It's okay to pray. You want to go into town. Pray for a safe, fast trip. And use common sense. Turn right and go into town. Now, if there's a big accident down there, or the road's washed out, God could say, don't go to Shaver Lake. Turn left and go to Big Creek. Fine. But you don't have to sit here and say, I won't leave camp until God tells me to go to Shaver Lake. You don't need revelation to go buy a toothbrush. You can get in your car and go buy one. Now, I was in there yesterday. They don't have much of a selection, but they do have a few toothbrushes. You might do just as well at the shop here. And it's just a walk. But you don't want to get into what I've often called perfection paralysis, where you're so concerned about doing everything perfect, you don't do anything. Just walk with God the best you know, pray, know he loves you, and enjoy life. Just enjoy life. And these things work out. So 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 11. 1 Kings 9, verse 11. 1 Kings 19, thank you. See, for longer classes, I hand the students the same notes I have, because I get so confused telling stories, I forget. You'll just have to help me here without the notes, which is hard, I know. 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, here we go. Verse 11. And he said, Elijah's having a tough time here, fleeing from Jezebel, and oh, just a tough time. And he, God, said, go forth and stand upon the mountain. Verse 11, 1 Kings 19, 11. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent, tore the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. God didn't talk with a rumbling loudness. He had a quiet voice. And again, as Doug pointed out, it's so clear, God doesn't always talk to people this way, but this is one way he does frequently talk to people. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And you can read the rest of the record. And they have quite a chat back and forth. God tells him what he needs to learn. So God can definitely speak in a clear, still, small voice. And those two records, 1 Samuel and 1 Samuel that Doug read today about how the Lord called Samuel, about how the Lord told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came. Great records. Matthew 17. This is similar to one of the ones we heard. Matter of fact, I think it's part of one of the ones we read. Yep, he saw the Spirit. Well, actually, we covered it. Matthew 3. Let's go finish Matthew 3 then. A couple times where God spoke from the heavens. Matthew 3:16. Where he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And then in verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And God can communicate just about any way he wants. And it's not important how he communicates to you. It's important that you be very aware of God, be looking to him, be asking him for wisdom, and then be listening. And he'll find a way to get through to you where there's no doubt in your mind that it's from God. Sometimes it's possible that a spirit could be smelled even. Look at Mark chapter 9. There's not a lot in the scriptures about this, but it's a way God could communicate. Mark 9, verse 25. We'll read more about this record later in the week. But when Jesus saw the people, that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." Well, it's foul. It says an unclean spirit. So it's very possible that it stunk. It was unclean. It doesn't actually say that in the scriptures, but it's very possible that this could have been one that he smelled. And tasting. God can reveal stuff through taste. Turn to 2 Kings. This is where you have to learn to God, speak to God, or to listen to God and speak to him. But you need to learn to listen to him and walk with him, because you might taste something that just doesn't taste the way you like it, and it's not necessarily revelation. It could be too much garlic or not enough. Or not. I can't have too much garlic. All right. No such thing as too much garlic. Okay. But this is where you'll just learn to walk with God. And God understands us. He knows where you're at. And that's the great thing to realize, is that God loves you. He knows you. He understands. If you go to him with an honest and open heart, there's so many verses in the Bible that talk about if you seek the Lord, you'll find him. He's not hiding. He's there. He wants to help us. He'll listen to our concerns and speak to us in a way we can hear. We just have to be listening. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 38. Here is, I think, the school of the prophets. They had a training program where a bunch of the prophets were there. And Elisha, he's the one that followed Elijah, which, as you probably know, is easy to remember because J comes before S in the alphabet. Elijah with a J preceded Elisha with an S. So Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth, a famine in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, "Set on the great pot and seethe pottage." That's older English for make a pot of soup. Boil some soup, seethe pottage. For the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. That's a smart thing. Go out in the woods and get a bunch of berries and roots you don't know and eat them. Really smart. Well, that's what this guy did. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, "Oh, thou man of God, there's death in the pot." And they could not eat thereof. Well, it's very likely that God showed it to them by taste. Now, it doesn't actually say he could have told them to them in their ears. They could have looked in their bowl and seen a little skull and crossbone. But it's just as likely that it tasted really, really nasty. And that was how God revealed it. But somehow he got it through to them, so they knew this was a nasty, evil meal. They could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot and said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. So Elisha at this point gets revelation, throw a little flour in there, a little cornmeal or whatever they had. And that somehow got rid of the poison. Now, did God do something miraculous? Or was there a chemical change based on the meal? Or did the meal soak up the poison? I have no idea. But clearly the revelation was throw some meal in and it'll be better. And it was. And then they went on and enjoyed their soup. So I don't want people jumping up in the dining room saying, this tomato soup will kill me along with the grilled cheese. Unless God really reveals it to you. Not just because it tastes a little funny. It'll be really obvious if it's revelation. It won't be just, I think there's a touch too much salt in here. No, it'll be really obvious. They all cried, there's death in the pot! They all knew. So, touching and feeling. That's another way. Sometimes it'll be felt. I know there have been times with me, I've been around possessed people, and it's just like this, creepiest feeling you ever imagined. You know, God can reveal things to you like that, where you just have a, again, that's something you got to be careful, because they're also emotional feelings. There are just physical feelings based on too much caffeine. That every time you feel funny, it doesn't mean it's revelation. But it'll be really clear when it's from God. And it's where you'll learn to walk with God. You'll learn to walk with God. Yeah, it's Starbucks. No, it's not the Starbucks revelation. Here we go. Mark chapter 5. Mark 5 and verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue or a flow of blood 12 years. Yeah, this is funny. I was going to school in Chicago. I lived with a bunch of believers and one young lady worked for a publisher that published medical journals. And one of the journals was called Blood. So one day, it's true, she brought home an issue of Blood. She really did. She really did. Oh, that happened. That happened. She brought home an issue of Blood. Vance, I don't know if you subscribe to that one or not, but there is such a thing. Okay. So a certain woman which had an issue of blood, not a magazine, 12 years she'd been bleeding, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She had great believing for healing. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, power, dunamis had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, it's very possible that the revelation came by feeling, that he felt power being drawn out of him. That God revealed to him that power was being drawn out of him because she was literally drawing on the power of God he had to be healed. Knowing in himself that virtue, power had been gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee and sayest thou, who touched me? Come on, boss, what are you talking about? We're in the middle of a mob. Everybody's touching you. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, that she was healed, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith, thy believing hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And be whole of thy plague. So there he could feel the power coming out of him. So, just to sort of summarize what we've done so far, is there are a lot of ways God could communicate with you. You may see something that God shows you, often called a vision, often done for people without the Spirit of God, who don't have Spirit, but with people that do have Spirit, God can reveal things that you see by way of spirit. Hearing, you will often hear a still small voice. God will speak to you audibly, sometimes loudly, sometimes quietly. Sometimes it's in your head where it doesn't quite seem like you're hearing, but it's real obvious. Sometimes you will smell something that shows what God wants to reveal you to you, or taste something, or feel something. These could all be God speaking to you. You will generally know immediately whether it's from God or not, but also, all of us, like the child Samuel, may have to learn to listen to God. And the way we do is go try out what God said, and it'll be really clear. Now, you got to be a little careful if you're standing on the edge of a cliff and you get the sudden idea to jump off. I would go back and say, God, are you sure? That wouldn't be a case where I would want to, you know, test out if that was really revelation. But most things aren't quite that dramatic. And you'll just learn to walk with God, and you'll learn to listen, like Samuel did in 1 Samuel 3. And the conclusion of all this is simply knowing. And there are times God won't show you something by seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, or touching. There are times you will pray, you will ask God for help, and you'll just have an inner knowingness of what to do. Now, you have to be a little careful about this one also and learn to walk with God, because sometimes people get a little goofy. In the middle of the political campaign we're in the middle of, I know one believer told me, a friend of his who's also a believer, said he was convinced a certain candidate was possessed, devil spirits, just very devilish. So he went to this person and said, you know, did God tell you that? No, I just know. What he really meant was this candidate so violated his political views that the only way that could happen is if that person was possessed. Not necessarily. You only know if somebody has a devil spirit, which is something we're going to actually cover tomorrow, but it's part of Revelation, if God tells you. Because there are certain characteristics and things people do that could be caused by a devil spirit and might be caused by something totally different. So, again, you got to be careful, but God will show you things and you will learn to walk with God. And, again, Dr. Worrell always used to say, it's a walk, kids. You just got to learn to walk with God. None of us are perfect at receiving revelation, but God is perfect at communicating with us. So the more faithful we are to look to Him, the more faithful we are to get quieted down and peaceful, focusing on the Word, the more we listen, the more we'll walk with God, the more effective it'll be. And again, don't get all condemned if you don't get revelation about every detail in life. God doesn't really have to tell you when to go to lunch. You have a schedule for that. What I do is I just head for lunch. Now, if on the way there, God tells me go talk to this person, or go minister to this person, or go back and grab something you forgot, well, then I'll do that. But absent God telling me that, I'll just go to lunch and enjoy it, and then go to horizontal hour, which I'll enjoy even more. It's just that simple. Just live life and keep looking to God. As Doug shared, acknowledge Him, focus on Him, meditate on His Word, and if you lack wisdom, ask Him. So many times the conclusion is simply knowing the will of God. Let's take a look at John chapter 2. We'll just wrap up with a couple verses and go have a powerful hourful. You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but different things will do stuff for people at camp. Some people, hour of power is where they really, everything fits for them. Other people, devotion with emotion, everything clicks, or hillside sing, or recreation, or horizontal hour. In different ways, God will work with you. And so enjoy the parts of camp you really like, and if there's something you find just a little bit annoying, hang in there. God will help you at the next activity. John chapter 2, verse 24. John 2:24. But Jesus did not... Well, let's back up again. Well, there's a bunch of things here. Get you a little context. Verse 13, the Jews' Passover was at hand, and the Jews went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all. Well, the reason he knew all was God had revealed it to him. He knew what they were thinking and what their agendas were and what they were trying to do to him, because God had shown him. He just knew. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. God just showed him. He knew. John 5:42. But I know you. Going back to verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. The religious leaders were so into the scriptures that they thought they didn't need to listen to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He said, search the scriptures. You think everything you need is in there. Well, it is. And what those scriptures do is they testify of me. You're into your Bible? Great. Look in your Bible and you'll find out about me. Verse 40, And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. He just knew. And it had to be because God showed him. Sometimes you run across people that seem to just know. They're just so determined and so convinced. Well, that's okay if what they know is based on something besides just their opinions. We can know based on God showing us things, based on knowing what the scriptures say. It's also okay to have opinions. We all have opinions. But I try very hard to distinguish what is simply my opinion and my tastes versus the Word of God. I have my own opinions about political candidates and what they serve in the dining room. We all do. But it's not the Word of God unless God tells us. It's my opinion. And it's great to distinguish. So to sort of summarize, if God gives you revelation on something, do it. If he doesn't, look to see what the Word says. If the Word doesn't tell you anything, it's okay to use common sense. And if common sense says, I could do this 6 different ways, pick the one you like. Don't worry about it. And just pray that if you're missing something, God will show you. And just live confidently, knowing God will be there. He'll work within you to be willing to do of his good pleasure. We just enjoy life. And it's a great time learning to walk with God. Picture a kid who just got a basketball for the first time. Get to learn how to dribble it, how to shoot, how to trip over it if it's bigger than you are. There's all kinds of great things. And you get the fun of learning. Well, we have the Spirit of God. And we have the Word of God to show us how to operate. Now we have the joy of just growing and walking with God. It's a great life. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these great truths. Thank you for these great saints in this great camp. And may we continue to grow in our understanding and operation of the great power you've given us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Doug?